Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
FM. This show was recorded on the 17th of October, 2024. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media, Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls. And before we jump in, again, I gotta have to sort of beg forgiveness, beg the pardon of the audience. I'm still floating around in this weird grief bubble. My mom died 2 weeks ago, and concentrating is not always the easiest thing to do, but this show was recorded live to podcast. We carried the tradition of having been a live-to-air show at one time before the streaming podcast era, and we still do that. I mean, we don't edit a heck of a lot, so if I'm out of it, not here, and all that sort of stuff, Christine's got my back. We have actually researched these stories that we're going into, and there's two incredibly big ones that are playing out right now that really change the face of the world that we work in. One of them is platform related. The WordPress saga continues. And the other is information related. Third Door Media and all of its holdings, including Search Engine Land, MarTech, and the SMX series of search conferences, educational events, those have all been sold to Semrush, the analytics and monitoring tool, probably the largest private analytics tool in the industry. So those are our two stories. Christine, dealer's choice, where do you want to go first?
Oh, let's start with this serial saga of Matt versus the world.
That's what it really feels like, eh? Like Matt went crazy a couple of about a month ago, and just maybe 2 months ago, started looking at the world and said, I could do that, and then started doing exactly that, except he looked at the bad side of the world. What's gone on recently? Like, what's the new stuff?
Oh, so for those that are keeping up, this week, they did something called a fork, which is where they forcibly fork something in the, I don't know the proper term, core probably. So it's advanced, it's a plugin called Advanced Custom Fields, and they took it over. They removed it.
They renamed it. It's now called Secure Custom Fields.
Yes, it's called Secure Custom Fields, and they will do all the updates from now on, et cetera, et cetera. So basically, they went into your house and they said, we think that might be a little vulnerable, so we're just going to take it to our house. And that's where it sits now. And that's completely against the spirit of what the open source community would say a fork should be used for.
Yeah, just to remember, Advanced Custom Fields was made by WP Engine, the hosting company that had actually been formed originally by WordPress and by the commercial arm of WordPress Automatic.
Well, invested in. They existed, but they were invested in by them.
Yeah. Oh, that'd been bolstered by. They made the Advanced Custom Fields plugin, which has now been forked, which is a very appropriate name for it, over to Automatic or to WordPress.org. Basically they came, took the technology, renamed it, suggests that they fixed a security problem that incidentally WP Engine also suggests they themselves had fixed, and renamed it, and now it's Secure Custom Fields. It's I think your plugin will still work from the old plugin, like they just sort of took the code base and users and all. I don't know if users are noticing a difference, but this is extraordinary action in the whole open source community.
So Mullenweg stated that, this is from the A Register, that is a security issue necessitating the fork. But his post also states, quote, this is a rare and unusual situation brought on WP Engine's legal attacks. We do not anticipate this happening for other plugins, quote. ACF product manager fires back with, Mullenweg's actions are extraordinarily concerning and pose a grave risk of upending and irreparably harming the entire WordPress ecosystem. His attempt to unilaterally take control of this open platform that we and so many other plugin developers and contributors have relied on, in the spirit of sharing plugins for all, provides further evidence of a serious abuse of trust, manifold conflicts of interest, and breach of promises of openness and integrity in the community. And so it's a needless to say, did not go over well. So,
Did they say freaking uncool? Like, did somebody, someone's lawyer write in, this is freaking uncool? I think that's a legal term.
Yeah, and he's also keeps changing the login box with like new phrasing for I am not in any way affiliated with WP Engine. It obviously seems like a personal beef he has with something at WP Engine, because other plugins have vulnerability issues. They just patch them and they put them back up. So,
oh, I will bet you every plugin of note is fixing its vulnerability issues
yeah.
right now, just so they don't give the dude an excuse.
Well, the problem with Matt is he comes up with these reasons supposedly for what he does, but they never pan out. And I don't mean like you have to know a lot about WordPress to even know they don't pan out. Like, they just don't, they don't sustain the deep dive. And he just keeps digging the hole. Like someone said, here, Matt's a shovel, just keep digging. And he goes, sure. And he just keeps digging. So even people that were not really upset with him, more and more, at least on social, which is, you know, limited view, but still, that's a lot of the people who use help with WordPress and the open source community, are fed up with him, done with him, and even looking for other solutions. And one of the people, which was a main developer that's been contributing to the core of WordPress, I think it was 15 years, he put up a resignation letter, basically. So people understand, these aren't paid jobs. These are people that, for their love of doing open source, which means anyone can contribute, they have been contributing to the core of WordPress for years. The other thing they've done is they've blocked a lot of the core contributors to the WordPress from the Slack. And if you're not in the Slack, you can't contribute. So we're going to have someone on next week as an interview later. Jano Anderson. I could better look up Jano's last name. I know him for a long time. He is an SEO who's also worked at Yoast, who's, you know, major WordPress plugin developer, and also has been contributing to the core and was one of the people that Matt bought for just critiquing something he asked for critique on in the Slack channel. I've seen the screenshot. So anyways,
a bit more of an insider's view next week in an interview with Jano. But in the meantime, the open source community itself, how to say it, WordPress is the largest of all the entities in the open source world. If five websites walk into a bar, three of them are probably made on the WordPress platform.
According to the latest research we have, 60% of the web.
That's three of five websites.
Yeah. They've also unblocked WP Engine from sponsoring or participating in any user groups or sponsoring WordCamps, which is something they were doing for quite some time now. So I don't know. This is obviously going to end in the courts. I just don't think it's going to go well for Matt, that's all.
Well, here's the thing. These guys are the biggest entity in the open source movement. When people think of open source, that's actually almost synonymous with what's happening over at WordPress. If they start acting like an 800-pound gorilla and just smashing things around them because it's in their immediate interest to do it, what does that say for other open source based business conglomerates, for want of a better word, cooperatives?
Also, what's to be said for allowing a business structure just in general where one person can do this for 60% of the sites on the internet?
Matt has shown how that can happen in the nonprofit structure that is established to run organizations in the open source world like WordPress. And again, WordPress is just the biggest, but if the biggest tends towards this kind of action, smaller ones are very likely to as well. And that's the big fear in open source right now, is that the entire ethos breaks down because the ones who were Several of the people at WordPress were among the original articulators of what open source was and would be. You know, this is where the tradition is made, and it's breaking down. It's like if America stops being a democracy, what are the rest of the democracies in the world start turning to?
Yeah, it's such a shame. Oh, by the way, it is Jono Alderson. I feel bad, Jono. I'm so sorry if you hear this. it's just truly. And 4 days of conferencing. But yeah, so it seems that, I don't know, it's just that he's thrown like a TNT into the pond, and then he just keeps throwing it in there because there doesn't seem to be rhyme or reason to why this is occurring. And most people are on the side of WP Engine because most of the things that he's accusing them of, or attacking them with, are things that everybody else does or aren't required by the agreements
It
when you do WordPress. Yeah.
very much appears that Matt is trying to consolidate and control this environment through automatic and in this kind of corporate case, sometimes what is right and wrong or true statements or not true statements don't matter. It's the narrative that gets pushed through. We're doing this
Well,
because blah 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 doesn't got to be true. It's just why they're doing it.
and also, I don't know any, re I'm not assigning any reason because we don't know, but he did sell his share of WP Engine. They invested in it in 2010 to take the load off of WordPress for hosting. And he sold his share in 2018.
Yeah, well, I mean,
So
that was
maybe,
like 6 years ago. It's hard to.
no, I'm just saying, maybe like you were saying, he's trying to recoup the money he didn't get because he got out too early. That's what
Could be. I think
I'm
he's trying to recoup the money he didn't get because he made it non-profit instead of for profit. That's what I think he's
trying to say.
trying to
Yeah.
do.
Well,
Shoot,
automatic
there's
is for
bill. I mean, he
profit, but
doesn't
you're
care
right.
about millions. He cares about billions.
Yeah, true. True. He's
Okay,
a very wealthy man.
speaking of very wealthy people. And this is seismic.
Dun-dun-dun. Sorry, I
Well,
did that.
Search Engine Land, a search marketing expo, and the entire Third Door Media empire has been purchased by Semrush. Semrush is the best known and probably most used digital marketing software on the internet right now. They have the staff, they have a staff of thousands, and they have massively deep pockets, and the scope of what they've purchased in the information sphere of our industry is staggering. This is the old Danny Sullivan empire, before Danny divested himself of it and moved on to Google. So yeah, Christine, I don't even know where to begin on this because Third Door just was responsible for so many things happening in the industry. I remember when Third Door was born. Shoot, I remember Danny drunkenly announcing he was doing it in a bar. But waking
Isn't
this
that
morning to or last night to find that Semrush has jumped in to buy it was stunning.
an awful thing to announce an early SEO in a bar? Just
Oh,
teasing.
yeah.
Yeah.
That was the early days.
Yeah, it's like, hey. So by the way, I just had a little coughing attack. So if I sound a little funny, that's why. Yeah, it's massive, it's seismic. I see kind of like a 50-50. Some people are fine with it in the industry. A lot of people have concerns. I
I fall on the
personally,
concern side personally.
I do too, yes. Also, because Semrush doesn't have a perfectly clean record on how it's handled things in the past, there's a right for, I think, people to be a bit concerned. We know that when they bought, what was it they bought? It was,
Backlinkio.
and they removed all their competitor links from it. Yeah, so there's a history of them not necessarily acting circumspect when it comes to buying up competitors.
I'm not so, how to say this? I'm not so concerned with what they're going to do with historic existing documents in the search engine land universe. I'm more concerned with what they're going to do with education and information features moving forward, not just in search engine land, but at the SMX conferences, at special SMX sessions, in the MarTech conferences and the MarTech journal that they publish. I think that there's a number of areas where the influence of a very large, basically tool and die maker for the industry can come and affect the way people think of their and competitors' products. And that's where the worry is. In saying that, I don't want to challenge the integrity of people like Danny Goodwin or Barry Schwartz or
No,
anybody who works
this is
at
the company that's
SEL.
purchasing them. This isn't them. But they also have they don't have the best history of putting out really good information at times. The SEMrush, not Search Engine Land. And if they now control the information narrative of one of the only what, three publications now? Or
Three
four?
major publications, yeah.
Yeah, for the search industry, they can take those things that aren't necessarily good for anybody but their, bottom line, to sell product. So I just think it's entirely problematic. And because they also don't have the best history in the industry with being above board about everything, I would say it's I don't know. Hopefully they'll be neutral and they won't impose. We do know that Barry Schwartz is going to stay on because they told him they wouldn't affect what he covers or how he covers it. I have a feeling if anything like that happens, we will hear from Barry about it because Barry is, a very ethical journalist. And I think you can call Barry a journalist. He's been
Oh,
covering,
my goodness.
yeah.
Absolutely.
He's not a blogger in the industry, because I used to write articles on people like, you're a blogger. No, I'm not a blogger. I was just an SME writing articles. But Barry is a true reporter in this industry. And I have a feeling that if they do try to go make him cover something in a certain way or not acting ethically, he'll leave.
Indeed.
And
And
then we'll know. Yeah.
at this point, I think it's important to note that Barry's coverage at Search Engine Land and Barry's work at Search Engine Roundtable are different. They might be the same. He might cover the same stories, and
Yeah.
given how much he covers in the day, he might even use a couple sentences back and forth. But it's essentially those are essentially two different properties. And SE Roundtable, as I understand it, is a property of Rusty Brick Incorporated, which is a standalone company that is not owned in any way by Third Door or now by SE by Semrush.
Yeah, and Barry is in no way dependent on Search Engine Land. His Search Engine Journal articles actually are far more prevalent, and he has his own Search Engine Roundtable, which has been around forever, and everyone knows that's Barry. So I assume that if there's something going wrong, well, no, even just because he just leaves, he may not say anything, but just because he just leaves. So we'll see, but.
Rest of the industry seems to be having, as Christine said, a neutral or negative reaction to the takeover. I'm very concerned about, again, just the weight of influence in the future. A number of prominent SEOs wrote their concern about the crossover between the major tool maker and the major infer the information center, and the pre I would suggest the premier conference when it comes to high level SEO knowledge that is, how to say it, mostly bona fide would be SMX Advanced. I mean, that's the pinnacle. If you're speaking there, you're
Well,
speaking to other highly advanced SEOs.
except they have been virtual for a few years, so I don't know that they're quite as big as they used to be.
Yeah, indeed, but it's still the brand, right? Like that's the but imagine the link value of all the Third Door properties, and just if you have a little thing going back to Semrush or a Semrush page or some concept that Semrush wants pushed. It's amazing, right?
And I don't know. I'm just looking at the Twitterverse re reaction today, and I don't know that this is a thing. I didn't look at it myself, but apparently someone's showing that in Search Engine Land right now, if you search for Ahrefs, you get SEMrush stories.
That would be a little bold, drastic, and fast,
It would be fast, but well, depending on how long this has been going on. I'm just saying it's just a thing. I'm not putting a judgment on it. Just saying that they have a photograph of it, and it's all they did search results for Ahrefs, and all the stories are about SEMrush. So it's just odd. but you know, not necessarily a thing. We don't know yet. It could just be bad programming in the search results.
No, I don't think that's. I'm looking at Search Engine Land's pages right now. I did just search Search Engine Land site for Ahrefs, and 8 hours ago, there was a quote from Patrick Socks about how how law firms can use data to grow. And published in Search Engine Land, attributed to Ahrefs, October 2nd, October 1st. No, I don't think that's happened at all.
Okay, well, like I said, there's an image in Twitter. I send it to your regular messages. But anyway,
I think I saw that same image in Reddit a little bit earlier today, and that's just the SEO. I think it's just the SEO silliness world.
I definitely could be 100%, but it is the kind of thing that could happen. Yeah. You're right, definitely 100%.
So I'm worried about it. It's something that's, you know what? I saw this. I just did that exact search, Christine, and came up with completely different results that actually showed Ahref results. I don't think they would do anything that drastic, that fast, that soon.
I agree.
Because they get caught by people like us looking for that. One last thing on this story. One of my first big worries was SEM Rush's former connection to Russia. As of August 10th, 2022, the company doesn't have operating subsidiaries in Russia. They don't have a single employee or client in Russia. And the company further claims the St. Petersburg office has been closed down because they're a publicly traded U.S. company. Transacting with Russian customers is sanctioned, and SEMrush says they are abiding by all sanctions. Ergo, they're not operating in Russia.
Right.
That was a worry of mine. Another worry of mine when I first saw the story, because you know I think people in the West should justifiably be concerned that any of their monies would go to Russian, be converted to Russian tax dollars.
Yeah.
So that's not happening.
And just so people have an idea of how big SEMrush has gotten, it has acquired Write, Brand 24, Exploding Topics, Compite, and Traffic Think Tank, and are now have a market cap of $2 billion. So that's, they're not just a little tool anymore.
Oh, no, they're massive.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
On the other hand, for Third Door Media, the rush of fresh capital will be like a rush of fresh air. Since COVID, their conference-based business model has taken a major hit, if not broken down entirely. The capital will probably be very helpful to jumpstarting their conference business again.
Yeah, and because post-pandemic, it's all been virtual. They really need that. Because most people didn't, after the pandemic was over, didn't want virtual conferences. And you go to conferences, people are like, oh, thank goodness it's not virtual anymore because they're so tired of virtual. So being only virtual has kind of probably hurt them the most. So by having an influx of cash, they could do conferences. But again, like you said, then they control the narrative. And I do think that's concerning. So I think everyone at SEO should just be aware and be careful that, you know, they have their heads up that that's a possibility. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it is a possibility.
Speaking of conferences, a fairly major conference just happened in Las Vegas where you happen to be sitting, broadcasting, and living. How was PubCon?
Oh, well, I didn't attend. I was just there to say hi to everybody at night at the bar. So the bar is the same.
Not entirely. They took the Tropicana totally gone. You cannot drink at the Tropicana.
True, but we're not at Tropicana. We're at the Luxor, so it was okay. You can see the Tropicana from there. No, it was pretty small this year. You know, maybe for a number of reasons. But you know, the people that came, you know, a lot of old, you know, familiar, friendly faces that I saw. But it definitely was much smaller than it had been in the past.
Okay, I've been looking and scanning for stories that came out of PubCon. Again, apology to the audience. I'm only kind of half here. It's really hard to concentrate on industry stuff while also dealing with family and, you know, personal stuff. So I didn't see a lot of stuff that came out of PubCon except for Facebook pictures from old friends who I wish I was hanging out with this week too.
Yeah, there was I a lot of people when I asked how it was going, it says good, but most of the stuff they just said, that's a lot of AI. And that's like all they said about it. So I don't have a feeling on how those sessions went
Okay.
overall. But it's one of the original SEO conferences. It's kind of sad to see it so small. Could be related to other things. There is a Jewish holiday this week. There are another conference. There's Brighton San Diego in November that people may decide to go to instead. So there's a lot of reasons it could be smaller, but it's kind of sad to see it smaller. It was one of my first conferences. So but maybe next year it'll be better. So might have just been bad timing for the year. So close to Halloween too.
Yeah, well, there's only one PubCon, but
Yeah.
there's other PubCons that happen throughout the year too in different places. So, yeah, maybe this was a weird timing thing. Okay,
Yeah.
moving along. We've gone through half the show and we still got a whole bunch of stuff to cover.
Yes.
Big
This has been good.
changes are happening in the realm of Google Ads and search. Prabhakar Raghavan is moving out of the role of head of ads and search, being replaced by longtime sidekick and Google exec Nick Fox. First off, Fox has long been a member of the leadership team at Google Ads and search. He's going to be leading Google's knowledge and information division moving forward. Raghavan, on the other hand, is moving upwards. He's moving into the role of Google chief technologist. And the team working on Google's Gemini app, which includes Google's AI direct-to-consumer products, are going to be joining Google DeepMind under Google AI's head, Demis Hassabis. Or Hassabis, sorry. Anyway, Raghavan is moving into the CTO position after chief technologist after 12 years of leading various teams across the company. He's going to be reporting directly to Sundar Pichai, the CEO of Google. And again, his role is new role as CTO. So that's interesting.
Yeah,
But it
huge.
doesn't sound like there's going to be major changes coming through the move because it looks like a string of people who all answer to each other just being moved vertically.
Yeah, and the person that worked closely with Raghavan is also the one taking over. So I don't know that it'll be a drastic change, but I do know that. Let's just say Google's not been doing so well. So ever since he's been put under Raghavan, so hopefully maybe there'll be a positive change. There's a lot of articles, not us, you and I saying it, a lot of research, a lot of articles, a lot of academics talking about how the deterioration of Google search.
Wasn't
So
Raghavan the head of search at Yahoo in the bad old days?
yes. And you know what he did there? It was an amazing accomplishment. He took them from 34% share to 14%.
Yeah, I remember that because I had,
Yeah.
sh speaking of a bad shares, I had shares of Yahoo at the time.
Yeah.
Long-term listeners will remember my screaming. Like literally screaming
That's
at the time.
screaming in
No,
the
I was screaming at the bike. For
night.
reals.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah,
Those are the
we'll
best
see how
days.
this goes. But it looks like a lot of the same sort of neural path carving is going to continue to be carved at Google.
Yeah, it's all going to be related to AI, and we'll see how it goes. There's this big push on AI across the world, but most people are like, I don't really want this. So we'll see. I don't mean about Google specifically, I just mean in general. Like when people do, they've done it recently with marketing, ad, is it, what is it? The big ad one, ad company, mark publication, Adweek. And they just did a big study, and they're like, people's think something's AI, they tend to like have an instant negative reaction to it. So
That's again, the way people feel about the technology today and the way they might feel about it 2 years from now are going to be remarkably different. The way
maybe,
people use
yeah.
these technologies to come, it's been like that for every evolution of electronics since the dawn of the computer age. It
Yeah, we'll probably
actually has.
agree
And
to
sometimes
disagree on
stuff's
some
been
of that.
good and sometimes stuff's been very bad. Speaking of the very bad part, and this is happening not just in the United States, this is absolutely happening in Russia, in Israel, in China. Not sure about so much North Korea, but it's definitely happening in America. OpenAI is quietly but absolutely pitching products to the US military. Why should that worry people? Well, it's only worry if it's used against you, I suppose, or
That's
used in
the
your name
drone's coming for
unjustly,
you.
or leading to an arms race that, truly grows out of control. It was inevitable. I mean, you knew this, and this was going to happen in November 2022, when OpenAI introduced itself to the general public. You already knew that DARPA was probably deep-mindedly into AI. I say with a smile on my face, very deep-mindedly into AI.
Yeah, they, in fact, this week they hired Jeremy. I'm sorry, it says Jeremy covered the hiring. Sorry, that was the reporter's name. Sebastian Bubeck or Bubeck hired a Microsoft AI researcher, Sebastian Bubeck, to head up that effort. Newest chief information security officer, and also worked a decade at. Oh no,
Palantir, which is one of the
yeah,
largest
because.
weapons manufacturing firms on the planet.
That's Dane Stuckey, though. So they hired Bubeck, and then there's Dane Stuckey. Dane Stuckey is the one that's the CISO and planet, from Palantir. So and that raises a lot of red flags for people, given it's such a secretive firm and it's run by Peter Thiel.
Yeah, I'm sorry, it's not military equipment, it's surveillance and predictive policing technology that Palantir makes.
Yeah, and this story isn't in here this week, so don't expect to come on this part. But there's a news story out this week just about in general an AI tool that was being used by a firm to identify people and have them like arrested. And apparently it's very, very wrong and very, very biased, and a lot of innocent people are swept up in it. So these technologies are not, they're not at that point to be accurate enough to be reliable, but let's put them in the military. That's cool. So
For what it's worth, in Ukraine, AI is guiding drones and helping
yeah.
set targets much faster than humans could. And I'm sure the
Oh yeah,
Russians are
there's
doing
good
the exact
uses for
same one
it.
back to them.
There's good uses for it. Surveillance is probably not the best one though. So yeah.
Okay, so Twixter, Twitter X, Twixter has
Twister. I like Twister.
again, I think, I mean, you need a scorecard to keep up with the change to this one particular feature alone. The block feature is changing again. We reported last week that the block feature had changed, so we're reporting again the block feature has changed. So I'm assuming that the block feature has changed again, or what he intends to do with it has changed again. I honestly don't know, Christine. What the hell's going on?
I don't think he knows. Too much ketamine. So he's going to get rid of the block feature completely in December, supposedly. And back in September, I don't know if he's still planning on this. If you block people after he does, try to block people after he does that, like I'll leave it there, I guess. You could have your account banned. But anyway, this one is if you block someone, they can still see all your posts. They just can't interact. And for someone who gets swarmed regularly by fake accounts and bots, I'm not that happy about that. Also, if someone had someone who wanted to put two bullets in my brain on Twitter, I blocked them. That person will not be able to see everything that I wrote. Now, granted, this is probably just some troll trying to scare people online. But still, there are real reasons people block people, and there's real reasons people don't want people to see what they post. And yes, you can get a separate account or, and go do that and look at their stuff. But most people aren't going to do that, and it's just bad faith. And then in December, supposedly he's going to not only lift the ability to block, but unblock everyone you've ever blocked.
Well, that's too bad. I mean,
That's the end of the platform for me. Like I'm done there because I get swarmed all the time by fake accounts and bots in the disinformation war, and so I just block them, right? Because then I don't have to deal with them. And usually they're particularly nasty and ugly, and they say nasty and ugly things to you. And you just block them. You're done. You don't have to worry about it. Now they're going to not only be be able to see you, but they're going to be unblocked, and you can't block them again. That's the end of Twitter. That's done. It's over.
Musk's motivations are very likely political. It's hard not to draw this back to politics in this
No,
really
it's
charged
not.
time.
Yeah,
But like,
he's very political now. So
I was
you're saying fact. That's factual.
years and years and years ago, I had a marriage that broke down and I got divorced. And it was an incredibly, incredibly painful part of time in my life and a painful, painful time in my ex-wife's life. Now, even though we're mature adults and we can be, Facebook friends and all that sort of stuff today, 15 years ago, we didn't want to really know what the other one was up to because the fact that I was dating, the fact that she was dating was, kind of painful. So I would block her on Facebook and I would block her on Twitter, not
Yeah.
because she was a horrible person or that I was a horrible person, but because, we don't want to share that pain with each other. That's just not a cool thing to do. It's kind of cruel, in fact. So Musk is removing your ability to protect people from information.
Yeah, and they're real, like I said, they're real reasons you block people.
Yeah.
Either one of the reasons I blocked the fake accounts and bots is to stop the swarm. I had something that went viral, got 800,000 views, and I was swarmed by thousands of fake accounts and bots. But once you start blocking them, then it slows down the swarm and eventually it stops it. You can't block them, you're just going to sit there for days being swarmed by the fake accounts and bots. And then on a personal level, like you said, and the guy threatened to put literally two hollow point bullets in my brain can now see my posts on Twitter, and I blocked him on Twitter for a reason because he said something that was really awful. So it's just a really bad thing. Nobody is responding well to it. I think the best comment I saw to the post from engineering about how they're going to do it was from the bottom of my heart, I wish you a very messy bankruptcy. That was a very good one. But it's just, there are women who are stalked that need to be able to block people, right? You're in a legal case. You need to be able to block people. There's like so many reasons people block that are completely 100% valid. But apparently, from what we know from Ryan Jones, who's been on the show before, when you have these block lists, they're very expensive to maintain. And so, and he's got, 20 years now at Twitter. It was 2004 it came out, 2006.
So this might be
So,
saving Twitter several million a month.
yeah, but at the same time, the users are gonna leave because like there's such a mass exodus right now that I've been seeing while I'm on there. I just don't see them surviving undoing all blocks. And my block list, I don't know how big it is. It's probably several thousand people or more.
So
So, and
the block
right.
feature on X or Twixter. You could see a good reason for it. It was actually kind of invisible. It didn't like take up any screen space and it tended to de-annoy rather than annoy people.
Yeah.
So getting rid of that feature is probably a negative thing, not a positive thing. Microsoft Bing, on the other hand, Microsoft AI CEO Mustafa Suleiman is betting that removing features will make Bing a less complex environment and will in fact lead to growth. I suspect he's been going to the Marissa Mayer School of Design. But this month, or towards the end of this month, Bing is going to be unshipping 27 features to simplify its search engine. We don't know which features exactly, but we know it's coming.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't say. I just wonder if it's on the back end or the front end or both, because I've talked a few times on the show about the fact that I really like Bing better, but it is a little cluttered in its display, especially with like left nav stickies and things like that. But it'll probably be good. So we'll see. Apparently, Bing still only claims about 4% of the search market. Although we'll see how that is next year this time.
It's amazing. Like Bing can't catch a break, even when it introduces the most popular form of sliced bread since sliced bread in the form of AI 2 years ago and
Yeah.
jumps on it first. Even though it does all these things, it just can't catch. Even though its major competitor is getting crappier by the day, Bing itself just can't catch a break. It's amazing, eh?
Yeah, it is. Although I guess banking on possibly Search GPT being part of like their renaissance, but we'll see how that goes.
I
I'm
think it's
not a fan of this, so.
honest to goodness. I think they must have built their campus on like some pet cemetery or something, and they just got like some terrible
Well,
karma happening.
there were for many years, they didn't invest in search at all. They just didn't care. It was just still there, but it never was. So, I think it was back probably about 8 or 9 years ago when they really started investing in it again. And you're right, they're from 1% to 4% now, but they'll tell you
Similarly,
it's much higher because they power their products. So it's not just Bing search.
one feature they haven't turned off, and that actually Google kind of appears to have stolen from them, is the we're going to nick your recipe feature.
Yeah, what is that about, right?
Well, okay, so Google's calling it Quick View, And Bing is, I don't know if Bing has a word for it at all, but both search tools will show you search for a recipe. Instead of giving you a link to the recipe, Google will just show you the recipe right there on screen. Bing will just show you the recipe right there on screen. So this, I mean, you remember the food bloggers who, or the foodie bloggers who had to write these elaborate stories to capture the
That's
attention of the
Google's
search
fault, though.
engine so
That's
that
Google's fault.
they won't have to write those stories anymore because no one's going to be going to their blog in the first place. They may have to write them to catch Google's attention, but no one's going to read them.
So what I don't get about all this, right, is if you steal the click, the site doesn't exist. Like, that's just what's going to happen because these sites have other monetizations that happen on their site, not just the view of the page, right?
But from Google's point of
So,
view, how many ways do you need to tell people to make chocolate chip cookies?
well, I actually look for specific recipe sites because I know they do good recipes. I don't have time to go through 100 different recipes to figure out which ones are good, right? Because they're all rated like 4.5 to 4.9, 4.5.
Because people are wimps. They don't give three ratings anymore. They're
No,
scared people
no.
won't like them or something.
Yeah. So I
Or
just don't
worse, that
understand.
somebody will come and knock on their door and demand they change the rating.
I would love someone with the money to decide that search engines should just be search engines and not portals like Yahoo was in 2004 when Google destroyed it with a simple search engine. Like,
Well, it
it
looks like
just,
Yahoo. It looks
but
like
it's
Bing's
theft.
trying to do that.
It's just theft. It's just, I'm sorry, it's just theft. You're stealing the clicks on the website. And now Google is partnering with the ones it's doing right now in the test. But Bing's is not a test. Bing's is live. And I'm disappointed in Bing because I thought they'd been a little bit more circumspect in how they're handling all this stuff. But if you take the web page and you put it in the browser, first of all, it shouldn't be there in the first place. But you just stole somebody's click from their website. That'd be like
Yeah.
if I had a store and someone's like, hey, I'm going to put a big sign out here out front and I'm going to direct someone somewhere else. And you're
Well,
like,
I
I have
mean,
no customers anymore. Why?
increasingly that's happening. It's called Google
Yes.
Shopping.
Well, yes. We have to talk about that today too. But
Oh, yeah, we'll
anyway,
get
so
there.
I don't understand what the partnerships are about. Barry was trying to find out. He doesn't think they're paid. I don't know why anyone would agree to this. I don't. Google hasn't
Attention,
told us.
clout,
Yeah,
bragging
maybe.
rights. Because that's
Maybe.
what they're getting
And
paid in.
I do want to state one thing. The whole 1,000-year story, like my family came from, indigenous people 10,000 years ago, and they made this bread. That's Google's fault because we get blamed all the time for that. SEOs did not invent that. Google said you must have content on the page back years ago when that was a thing. And so everyone, recipe industry went, oh, well, we don't have content. We just have recipes. And they invented stories about the recipes. And that's how that occurred. I want everyone to stop blaming us for it. Like, we didn't tell them to do it. Google told them they needed to do it. So that's how that happened. But anyway, so yeah, I don't know why they're doing this. I don't understand the purpose other than, them not leaving the search engine. But also, they're not leaving the search engine. They're also not clicking ads on the search engine. So who knows?
Eyeballs is eyeballs.
Eyeballs is eyeballs, I guess.
You know what? You gotta have eyeballs to justify the nuclear plant you gotta buy. Like, if the other guys have two nuclear plants, you need two nuclear plants. If the other guy's got five nuclear plants, by God, you need five, maybe six nuclear plants. Because that seems to be the big trend amongst the big houses right now. Amazon, Google, and Microsoft have all joined the nuclear club.
Yes.
It takes a absurd, like an unspeakable amount of power of electricity to fuel AI.
Yeah, so much
And
of makes crypto look like a candle.
our traditional grid, our traditional power sources simply can't keep up. So, incidentally, the new commodity in the future is electricity at
Yeah, also.
100%. If you can make it, you can and ship it, you will make money.
Also on the darker side of things, there's some reports that came out, and I'd have to find links. We can cover it another time, but basically, that the AI race has undone a lot of the carbon reductions around the world because the amount of energy that's being used to fuel
It absolutely has. But again, this is
it.
how to say that the only I'm a big proponent of nuclear power because it scales fast with minimal carbon with minimal carbon output. It has a radioactive output that needs to be dealt with long into the future, but that's the long future, not the short-term
Yeah, but
future.
We really want corporations running these things.
We already have
We know,
corporations running these things.
no, here they're corporations that are public-private partnerships. They're not independent corporations that are building nuclear power plants.
The
Because,
demand, you know what? I don't think we have a choice. That's the thing. I don't know if we have a
well,
choice on this issue. The demand for electricity is
yeah,
going to be
well,
so staggering.
as long as we can continue to follow the models that we're following, that's true. But
The question
my
I think
point being
Americans
is,
should ask, especially going into November 5th, is do you want regulations over these things or not?
yes, my point being is that Microsoft does this, right? Let's say one day Microsoft just goes bankrupt. Who owns the power plant?
Well,
The day that happens.
given the demand for electricity in the future, there will be demand for the power plant, I'm sure.
No, I'm saying, I'm not arguing that point. As long as we're following these generative AI models, that's going to happen. I'm just saying that I don't necessarily like the idea of individual corporations going back to Three Mile Island and reviving a nuclear power plant, because my government will always oversee the nuclear power plant if we have one for our city. But for a corporation to own one means the corporation could decide to cut corners because corporation needs to save money or not oversee it anymore. And then who does? Or go bankrupt tomorrow, overnight, suddenly, and then who's responsible for something that can be very deadly for many people in many areas? So I'm just saying, I just don't. This idea that Microsoft just gets a new Three Mile Island and refurbishes it, the one that leaked, right? It's just kind of crazy to me. I think the excessive amount of wealth we have right now among the top very 1% of everything, companies, people, whatever, is leading to things that I just think are inherently kind of dangerous. And I don't know who's overseeing the long view.
Currently, almost all commercial reactors in the United States are owned by private companies. They're regulated heavily by the government, but they are owned by private commercial interests. So, that's already a reality.
I think they're private-public partnerships. We'll talk about that later. I was just saying, I just don't like the idea of corporations owning all this. I think it's dangerous.
Again, the trick is can we control? This is the same problem we have. We have moved, looking at a future based around AI. Can you control the monster? And can the monster be beneficial or not beneficial? That's what this is going to the reemergence of so many nuclear power plants is also going to come down to.
Yeah, and that
We will
could
see.
become good overall for the reduction of carbon. We have to do something because we cannot continue with these types of models and the current electrical systems because we just don't have enough power, and that they're undoing carbon reduction. So
To
in
be
many areas around the world.
honest to goodness, you have 40 million people just north of you screaming can do. It's the name of the nuclear reactors we make. And they're really good too.
Yeah, this isn't a discussion about
Special
nuclear.
sale
It's
on
a
now,
discussion about
30% off if you use American dollars.
it's just a discussion about a generative AI being the reason we're doing all this. So, and the companies that are going to be doing it, that's all. Anyway, moving on.
Google Chrome is going to make sure that your ad blockers don't work. The Chrome extension uBlock Origin is going to be depreciated as of very soon.
Yeah,
Those
and I
extensions aren't going
even
to be supported anymore.
I have it too. I sometimes forget to turn it off. I'm doing an audit and I'm like, the crawl says they have ads. Why do they not have ads? Oh, right. I forgot to turn off uBlock. Yeah, I mean, they're going to shut this down and someone else will come up with another. Like, it just seems like kind of a futile effort to shut down a plugin that blocks ads. But, well, I mean, I get it. They want people to, pay them money by viewing things. I don't use it for everything, like news sites and stuff. I leave it off. But yeah, so it's gonna go away, and it won't use it anymore. Top content, filtering extensions. Let's see, AdBlock, AdBlock Plus, uBlock Origin, and AdGuard will all be blocked.
Okay, this one I'm not sure how we're gonna feel about. It's gonna happen anyway, so how we're gonna feel about it may or may not matter. But Google is going to be sort of reorganizing how it presents shopping results to users. It's gonna be using AI to figure out its user and then creating the generative results and product car, how to say this, product carousel environment that, you know, matches what that particular user is most likely to click. The according to Barry at Search Engine Roundtable, a search for men's winter jacket in Seattle will provide an AI brief with the most important things you need to know before investing in a new coat for the Seattle climate. They'll show product recommendations by sources from across the web, an explanation of why they will fit your particular needs, and you'll see categories that give you a more organized view of the types of jackets you might want to consider. If you want to research more deeply, you can click through to relevant articles. So, like that's what Google said about how they're how it will work. You can turn it on and off. You can use a personalized shopping feed or not. That's there's going to be
Yay, mine will be awesome.
and if you do have it turned on, Google will give you tools to help you find deals.
Yeah,
So there's
so
incentive.
interesting that Google did the parasite spam rollout, which were deals, and now are going to offer deals. Seems a little self-serving, maybe.
Maybe.
Right. Maybe a little bit. Like usually when people say that on Twitter, like Google's doing this because it's going to replace it with this. Most of the time, it's not true. But it appears this one is true. They are going to do that. And what happens to all the deal sites out there? You know,
They're
like
going
the.
to be scraped to hell
Yeah.
and back again, is what's going to happen.
When did search get the idea that we wanted search to be a big old massive website full of stuff that I don't care about? Like I go to products right now to try to find something, and I want to find information about a product, but I can't get that information anymore because it instantly creates a product page, and the product page is like an interior e-commerce site, and I'm not looking for e-commerce. I'm not trying to purchase. I just want some information about the product, and instead I've got to dig through the amount of cluttered junk on the page, and the 10 blue links often are never relevant to what I search for, and it's just like, I don't know. I could be totally wrong. This could all go really well because I like a simplified information portal where I can make determinations for myself. I find that that's too much information and it's a lot of junk, and I don't need it and I don't want it, and I just want a freaking blue link. It's overwhelming how much stuff they put on the page now. But to
The
do the
way
deals things is pretty self-serving, and it's interesting in the day of antitrust at Google, they have four antitrust cases, two of which they've lost, that they continue to do things
you know,
that
it takes a
make them
couple
more
years.
likely to be an antitrust case. Like,
It takes a couple years for an antitrust case to weave its way through the system. So you can get away with it for quite a while and make
but they're
a
going to be broken up. This isn't
whole
like a
bunch of
small
money on the
antitrust.
side. When you think about breaking up Google, you can't break up the information environment because it all works on each other. You break up, take up, peel off part of the entire Kijitsu spider web of information connections in the Googleverse, and you kill the Googleverse. They're going to break off companies maybe, but they won't kill the information connections. So none of that stuff that drives AI or even the deal finding will get broken up no matter what they do. Because it's just
When I kill all
if
the
you do, you
websites
kill Google entirely.
provide this information for their AI training, it'll be really interesting to see what they do. So anyway,
They will probably profit as much as they possibly can, as long as they possibly can, and pivot when necessary. That would be my guess.
well, where do you pivot when the websites are gone?
To something else to exploit, of course. They're Google.
Oh,
They have all the
of
information
course,
in the world.
of course.
You know, when that information stream dries up, you'll find another tributary over there. There's an endless amount of people putting stuff on the web right now. You knock off one group of people, and another group of people will replace them just for the clout. We saw this. We saw this happen in the in the world of writers. And it's awful. But it's I think it's like Gresham's theory of economics. The bad penny will always come up before the good penny. The lower value tends to always rise above the higher value. It's awful.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
If some
This is
billionaire out
awful.
there wants to go into search, contact us. We'll get in touch with the right people.
This part also bothers me. Well, she doesn't bother me. It does bother me.
This is normal. Go ahead.
AI overview. Oh, you're thinking of the robots text? I was looking at the AI overview story.
No, that's it. Go ahead. This is normal. This is always how it works.
AI overview is not linking to sites hit by the co helpful content update. Well,
Right.
neither was the 10 blue links. So that doesn't surprise me. If you
If
want to
you're
get,
at,
I'm sorry.
go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, the link in the carousels in AI overviews, or the link in AI overviews comes from good SEO. It comes from good
Yes.
tight technical SEO and really tight
Exactly. Yeah.
explanations on your pages, and it comes from being part of the knowledge graph.
Well, and also, if you're under suppression, you are suppressed from everything. So you're suppressed in organic, news, discover, and your quality score for ads goes lower. So you would pay more. And then now it's AI overviews. So it's like everything. If you're under suppression, you're under suppression, and you don't appear anywhere. So I just, it's not new. I think it's highlighted because it's a helpful content update, which no one's recovered from. But other than that, this is typically normal behavior for anything that's under down. You know, it is interesting though, here. This one little interesting thing. So the HTU was site level, site wide, every page of your site. And they were supposed to move to the page level. We have no indications it ever moved to the page level because sites would have had some recovery. Whether it was 20% of their pages were now showing or 50% or 80, because it was page level, right? So some of your pages are coming back, but nobody's pages came back. Now we have none of these sites are showing up in the AI overview. But some of their pages are fine, right? So it's like we have no evidence that it actually ever moved it to the page level. It just seems to be hung in suspension forever, like Matrix. Like, hey, we're here, but we're not fixing it. So because you would have had some sort of movement when they moved from page level to, I mean, from site wide to page level, and there's been no movement. So I'm not surprised they're not in there, but it may be for other reasons than the normal suppression.
We are reaching the end of the show. We got to move pretty quickly. So I'm
Yeah,
sorry, was that
well, it's okay. We'll do this real quick, and we'll do the fast stories, and
okay?
we'll be safe.
Google's added an edit and delete button, which links to around links to your reviews. So if you put up a review in Google Business Profile and you go back to that review, Google will give you an edit or a delete button. I think this might help people, merchants who suffered from the temporarily aggrieved customer who, in the heat of anger, writes something awful but doesn't really feel that way.
Yeah, this is making it much easier to do the editing. You don't have to like click in and like that. So you'll just be able to edit straight from the page.
The importance Google puts on like user-generated reviews is huge.
Yeah, it's massive. Yeah.
And the importance that users put on those reviews when they're researching business, especially in Google Business Profile, if they see a bad review about your business, it's funny, you could have like 10 great reviews and one bad review, and they see the bad review and go, "Oh my God, that's terrible stuff," but don't see the good stuff, right? So it's really concerning.
I do always read the worst reviews to see if it's a person in seat error, the person got the product and how it worked, or just made a mistake, or if it's an actual product issue. So I always read the worst. By the way, never get rid of all your worst because everybody has bad reviews, and it looks weird when you don't have any bad reviews. So we need to move into the quick last fast stories. We don't have that many, so we should be pretty good. So Google Merchant Center is going to let you name your shipping policy. There's a new box, little input box inside the Merchant Center, which will allow you to put your shipping policies, which seems pretty common sense. I didn't know it wasn't a thing before. Google tests snippet product carousels for Amazon.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, you know,
Yeah.
Amazon already had a big break in the SERPs. Like, they may as well have had their own carousel. I don't know if I like that or not, but again, Amazon already took up so much space.
Yeah, maybe it's good it'll be separate, then you won't just only see Amazon. Again, this goes back to my belief that because they're going to be rearranging your whole page based on AI information, they have to put everything in blocks now so that they can do that. Because if
Yeah,
they don't
that
have
makes
blocks,
sense.
they can't do that, right? So we have now listicle blocks, we have user-generated content blocks, we have Amazon blocks, we have news story blocks, everything's now in a block, and then they'll be able to use Tanagram, which is a process like Google, to rearrange the page personalized for you, which I have personalization off. So hopefully that never happens. But for you guys with personalization on, that's what they'll be doing with it. So Google business profiles remove health insurance accepted. That just seems like an odd one to me. So you were able to put in your Google business profile that you took health insurance, and you cannot do that anymore. So
no idea on that one.
Nah, Barry didn't have any really good insight into it. Google didn't really explain it. So right now, if you were putting, you can accept health insurance, you no longer can do that. Google's also going to test. Seven at the conference. Test shaded featured snippet backgrounds. So they just want to highlight that the feature snippet is there, and instead of a box around it, which is what they've always done before, they're going to maybe put little colors behind it. And the one that tests best is the one they'll probably keep.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how and if you can accentuate these colors. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out, what the service looks like, and if there's a way to control them in the future.
Yes, very true. Next thing is, this is a little hard one to describe, but Google search tests angled and off-centered design elements, which means things on the page that used to line up don't line up anymore. So like the search magnifying glass and the search box would line up with the word all for all studies, which would line up with the icons for the search results below. But now they're all askew, which may or may not be an actual test. It could just be someone made a simple CSS mistake or something.
I really hope so.
Yeah.
For people like me, this is going to be torture.
Right? It's like all the OCD people are going to be like, I can't move it.
Yeah, you know, that should be over there. Why isn't that over there? That's supposed to, yeah. Supposed to be in a line. Where's my red tape? It's supposed to be in a line.
Someone will put out a Google CSS OCD sheet you can put on every time you load Google.
You know what? If somebody could make a filter or a plugin, that would make, tons of clout at any rate. People would be grateful for it. Okay.
Then we got one more.
No,
big story. Idea. This is the biggest story of the day.
This is a stupid. You asked me what the stupidest story I've covered in a while was. This is it.
This is it. Does it beat Zuckerberg and Musk fighting in a ring, though?
No, only because I really want to see that happen.
I do, too. It has to be in Vegas, though. So I can go down and see it. Google search test replacing Google logo with Super G logo. I don't even know what that means.
It means, you know what? Do you ever watch a really popular TV show or a really popular cartoon, and they introduce like the child character or the baby?
Yes.
Or maybe the dog? That's what this is. This is Google changing its branding a little bit because it needs to jazz itself up and make itself look cooler.
So instead of Google on the left of your search, upper left type of the page, it will say G. And Google calls it Super G. That is not us making fun.
Yep.
That's actually the name for it. Super G.
But it'll just be a big G. And again, this is Google messing with its brand. And you do that when you need, you're worried about your look. It's like they introduced the stupid Scrappy-Doo in Scooby-Doo came along for this exact reason.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I'm sorry. We did forget one other story we have to mention real quick. And then we're done. Bing Webmaster Tools, if you're using them, and if you're not, you really should, because they give you a lot of good information about your site. It's not necessarily what Google's looking at, but it's a lot of good things. Also, you can tell if you have a Google issue or a general issue, because it'll be in both Webmaster Tools or it'll be in only Google's Search Console. But they're getting 16 months of data and recommendations, and they will have Copilot tools coming in the future.
Which is cool, because that conforms with the amount of information you get back from Search Console.
Exactly. So, and they do give some really helpful recommendations. When they say, Google will say, like, you have a problem, and then you have to, like, go to the info, a little question mark, and then go look and try to interpret what they mean. They will actually tell you in Bing, like, Webmaster Tools, like, they'll say, this is what your problem is, and here are the pages with the problem as an example. So, it's very helpful, I think. More helpful than Google's. Yeah. So I wish we had a weird, quirky story to end on, but we don't today. Unless,
Super G. That was the weird, quirky story. Goodness.
Super G. And next week we'll have Yono on for the big, we're going to pre-record him. So he'll be at the beginning of the end of the episode. But he has all the insight into the whole smackdown between Matt and the world.
It'll be interesting to hear an insider's perspective on what's happening in WordPress and And that whole environment, I hope it's not, honest to goodness, I hope it's not as dire as we've been reporting. But I got a feeling it might be weirder.
Yeah, exactly. And he's been there a long time, and he's also had the SEO angle as well. So if anyone can tell us the inside scoop, it would be Yano. So
Okay, so look for next week's edition of Webcology, having already listened to this week's edition, and thank you so much for listening. Also, thanks to Wix Studio and to Audience Key, our two major sponsors. Want to send a thanks to Ricky and DeBrasco in the studio, and Darren and Brandy in the office, and everyone involved in WMR. And again, thank you guys so much for listening. If you're any way you can like or subscribe to our show is helpful to the distribution of our show, please go ahead and do that right about now. And on behalf of Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. You've been listening to Webcology, recorded live to podcast on the 17th of October, 2024. Be well, rank well, be kind to each other, and we will talk to you next week.
bye, everybody.
We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.